Today, our first scripture reading will be the first of part of two. I will be reading the first part of the Pentecost story, and then Andy will conclude it in Acts 2. My part will be verses 1 through 13. Hear now this reading. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house while they were sitting. Divided tongues as the fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in their own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is a continuation of the first. We pick up this same passage in the second chapter of Acts, where we left off. "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" For the word in creation, for the word within Scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, just in case you missed it, today is the day of Pentecost. And as with other special days in the observance of the church liturgical calendar, there are numerous ways that we interpret and celebrate it. Some say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. We heard that explained here with the younger members of our church just a few moments ago, because the good news of Jesus was shared beyond those known as the disciples. Others say Pentecost is the reversal of the Tower of Babel, as people are able to communicate with one another. And it can also be interpreted as the advent of evangelism and proselytizing and a model for preaching the gospel. All of these ways have been interpretations of the day of Pentecost. But regardless of how we interpret and appropriate this story, the story of Pentecost in the Acts, according to the apostles, is an amazing and inspiring story about the Spirit of God. The Spirit is the power of which Jesus spoke to His disciples when He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. The Spirit is the advocate or the comforter that Jesus promised who would come to the disciples after Jesus was gone. The Spirit, it's the word for air, for wind, for breath. The same wind that swept over the chaotic void of creation, the Ruach. The same breath that filled the first human. Spirit is breath, and breath is life. But it's not simply biological life. It is life lived fully, life lived abundantly, life lived freely. With abundantly meaning without bounds. Now then, as now, people had created religious systems and rituals that unfortunately tried to control and restrict the Spirit of God. But Jesus had told His disciples that the Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And one way to understand this act of the Spirit proving the world wrong is that the Spirit defies rules and regulations defining who is right and who is wrong, who is in and who is out. The Spirit defies these regulations and rules that we set up by expanding our understanding, by expanding our experience of the presence of God, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others and in the world around us. When the wind and the tongues descend on this multinational and cultural crowd of Pentecost, the kingdom of God, which is the empowerment of people, the empowerment of relationship with God. The kingdom of God, literally in our terms today, goes viral. It spreads among those people. So perhaps the real story, perhaps the meta-narrative of Pentecost is simply this. The Spirit of God, the divine presence and power of all creation, cannot and will not be contained or confined, but rather remains free to stir, to disturb, and sometimes to shatter our presumption and piety. I believe that we are living in Pentecostal times and have been for several decades. As different voices are stirred and heard, as long-held beliefs and practices are questioned and challenged, as theological and denominational walls and barriers are breached, as interfaith dialogue takes place around our globe, when these things happen, people are open to and filled with the Spirit. And when people are filled with the Spirit, they are often criticized, sometimes mocked. We saw it in this story right in the Bible. They're drunk. They're crazy. Well, here's a question for us today. Where are the drunks and the crazies in the church today? Who are the people questioning and challenging the status quo? Who are the people vulnerable enough to allow the Spirit of God loose in their lives and be who we are created to be? Who are we? Where are we? For the past couple of months, a group of people have been meeting about every 2 weeks, discussing, sharing, exploring, and imagining the future of Trinity Clearwater Presbyterian Church. From these meetings, we have come up with vision and mission statements that were recommended to and approved by the session at the session's last meeting. The input for these statements, in a large part, came from congregational gatherings that we had on Wednesday nights back in February. And now there are recommendations being developed to pursue a missional blueprint as a touchstone to guide us as we move forward. We are opening ourselves to the movement of the Spirit. Our vision is: all people know God's loving presence. That's our vision. That all people know God's loving presence. Our mission is to inspire lives by loving God with all our soul, mind, and heart, and our neighbor as ourselves. Today is a good day to introduce this vision and mission statement, because in several ways they are Pentecostal statements. Just as the Spirit comes to all the people in Jerusalem and unites them across barriers, our vision is that all people know the presence of God in their lives. Just as the Spirit filled people with new life and energy, our mission is to inspire lives. Inspire, it literally means to breathe into. And our hope is that we can generate an atmosphere in our congregation so that the very air of Trinity will be filled with the love of God with all of our soul, mind, and heart. And our neighbors will feel as loved as we love ourselves. Now, Trinity is already an open, welcoming, inclusive place. We are already an inspiration to many. But our hope is that we, like those followers of Jesus in Jerusalem, will be transformed by the wind and fire of the Spirit in order to be a community of transformation in our community and the world. And when people's lives are being transformed, believe me, the word spreads. The fire grows. There's an old joke about the church that caught fire and everybody in town came out to watch the firefighters try to put it out. And one person said, "I've never seen so many people at this church." And another one said, "Well, it's the first time it's ever been on fire." Now that is a tired old joke. But you know, it's so true. Last week, I closed the service talking about our spiritual DNA. That the incarnation of Christ and the resurrection of Christ were both in the same events of the presence of God in our lives, and that our DNA has divine presence. Well, after that service, somebody said, "Did you know that there are some people in our congregation who think those windows on the wall behind the chancel look like the double helix of the DNA?" And I came in here and I looked at those windows and I said, "Wow, the DNA of incarnation in the manger and resurrection with the empty cross." And then the more I looked at those windows, I saw something else. I saw a multicolored flame rising to the heavens. The Spirit. Let us praise the grace and risk of fire. In the beginning, the word was red, R-E-D. And the sound was thunder, and the wound in the unseen spilled forth the red weather of being. In the name of fire, the flame and the light. Praise the pure presence of fire that burns from within, without thought of time. The hunger of fire has no need for the reliquary of the future. It adores the eros of now, where the memory of the earth in flames that lick and drink the air is made to release. Its long enduring forms in a powder ashes left for the wind to decipher. As air intensifies the hunger of fire, may the thought of death breathe new urgency into love of life. As fire cleanses dross, may the flame of passion burn away what is false. As short as the time from spark to flame, so brief may the distance be between heart and being. May we discover beneath our fear embers of anger to kindle justice. May courage cause our lives to flame in the name of the fire and the flame and the light. There's no coincidence in our tradition and our scriptures symbolizing and visualizing the Spirit with flame. So on this Pentecost, let us stand before the wind and the flame and hold on to our hats. Amen. I put one of my favorite Pentecost quotes on the front of your bulletin today. It's a quote that comes from author Annie Dillard. I won't read the whole thing. You can read it yourself. But there are just a couple of phrases that I would like for us to leave with. And one of those is, does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? When we call upon the Spirit of God, do we have any idea what we're doing? Well, our scriptures tell us, and our tradition tells us, that when the Spirit moves in our lives, we better get ready for some change. Because the Spirit comes to stir us, as the song says, to stir us from our placidness. So as we invoke the Spirit on this Pentecost, which in a way is rather arrogant to think that we could invoke the very thing that gives us life anyway, as we recognize the presence of the Spirit among us, let us go from this place knowing that we are filled with the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit, and that we will encounter that same wind in the most surprising places. So let us go from this place knowing that we have experienced the presence of God in our lives. Amen.